Amen. 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 God bless you. Well, I want to talk to you again today about testimony. The thing I want you to remember is that a testimony is a statement for the purpose of what? Establishing and recording truth. You remember that from last week? And so in the scriptures, the word testimony, a witness, is used in a synonymous way, used interchangeably. So we will do that over the course of today and the next few weeks as we talk about this issue of testimony. A testimony, you remember from last week, involves what God has to say about you, yes, good and bad. A testimony involves what other people say about you, good and bad. And a testimony involves what you say about yourself, both what? Good and bad. A testimony must be taken seriously. You remember in Matthew 18 when Jesus was instructing his immediate disciples and us vicariously how to handle a situation where someone in the family of Christ has sinned. Remember that? And he says you go to them privately first and try to convince them of their sin privately if you can. But then he says, if that doesn't work, then what are you to do? Take along what? Two or three what? Witnesses, so that the truth can be established. You see? The testimony of two or three witnesses is to be taken serious. And in Hebrews 10, it says, for anyone who sets aside the law of Moses dies without mercy. Can you think of that? Dies without mercy on the evidence or the testimony of two or three witnesses. You get it? And so, this is a important issue. A testimony is an important issue, and that's what I've been trying to convince you of. So a testimony can be costly. Yeah, it can. When you're living or speaking a testimony for Christ, it can be costly. But likewise, when you're living or speaking a testimony for Christ, it is what? Rewarding. Amen. And so we don't shrink back and pull away from speaking what? The truth, because it's what? Costly. Because we know that in the end, the reward is worth it. Amen? Yeah. And so, with that in mind, for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you. Darren, we got a hang-up again for some reason. PowerPoint, this has just got a real technology problem today. For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about with these two points in mind from these verses. A testimony involves what you say about Christ, and a testimony involves what you say about those who suffer for Christ. Okay? What you say about Christ and what you say about those who suffer for Christ. So let's unpack it a little bit. You go back to verse 8. Paul says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Well, if he says do not be ashamed, that obviously means that there are people what? Who are ashamed. No. Here's the thing about people of the world and people being used by the devil and people that are clever and cunning. even that have, Jesus says, like wolves have made themselves, crept in among the sheep. Is that you can't always discern right away that they are ashamed, because they don't talk like they're ashamed. You see, they don't act like they're ashamed, but they are. As a matter of fact, Jesus wants us to know that the majority of people in every generation are ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's something to think about, isn't it? The majority of people in every generation are ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Listen at Matthew 7. You'll know these verses, but listen at them, and I want you to think about them carefully. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many." Yes? These are the ones that are ashamed of our Lord, ashamed of the gospel. But then verse 14 says, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." And so I want to encourage you, my brother, my sister, you need to be thankful today that by the grace of God, you have been enabled to find this what? This narrow, this small gate, and this narrow way, because the masses have missed it altogether. The masses have missed it altogether, and they are ashamed of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the Bible would help us as it goes on to help us to see how clever people are who are ashamed. They still say, "Lord, Lord," right? So what Jesus said at the end of Matthew 7, they still say, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And do what? Many mighty works in your name?" But what did Jesus say to them? "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, because I never knew you. You were ashamed. You were doing all those things, but you were ashamed of me. You did it for all sorts of reasons, but not because you loved me." In the scriptures, you see people refer to Jesus as good teacher. But that's not because they don't mean that. It's because they wanted something, or called him a prophet. You remember when he asked his own disciples, "What do people say? Or who do people say I am?" He says, "They say you are John the Baptist, right? Or Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. They say many things, but they are ashamed. They're ashamed." Think of all of the people that use Jesus' name today in cults. But they are ashamed of him. This is really important. This is really important. Don't be deceived. People use the same Bible that you do, and they're still ashamed of our Lord. Use the same terms that you do, and they're still ashamed of our Lord. You get it? Still ashamed. But then there are those who don't even try to camouflage it. You remember it was though you had those in Jesus' own time who says that he cast out demons by what? The power of Beelzebub. And even today, we've got atheists and agnostics and many who just flagrantly deny Christ and flagrantly bully us and try to embarrass us. And I've said this to you before. I want to continue to say it. We can't be bullied in these last days. Don't let people bully you because they can speak louder, they have a bigger platform. Whatever they're saying, their testimony is not true. That's my point. You see? Those who are ashamed, they have a testimony about Christ, but it's not true. Get it? Those who are in big churches have large, large congregations who are following, the Bible calls it a gospel that is a different gospel. You see, they still use the Bible, still use the name of Christ, but their testimony and their gospel is what? Not true. And so, that's the one group that we certainly, you don't want to be a part of, and you want to be able to help and discern when you recognize that their testimony is not true. Again, this verse says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And so there are those of us who are what? Not ashamed. Not ashamed. These are the ones who love Jesus and testify the truth about him. We are in the minority. And we need to very carefully and seriously accept that fact. We are not in the majority in this world. Amen? Amen. That's not something, that's not a statistic that you're going to find on CNN or from pollster that goes around the country. Many of the pollsters that go around show that the majority of people are what? Christian. Haven't you seen those? Particularly in America. The majority of Americans are Christians. But Jesus says, we're in the minority. You remember what he said? He said that you enter by the what? The narrow gate and the hard way. And my brother, my sister, if you've been saved, you have done that. You have come into the kingdom by the narrow gate and the hard way. And you're not ashamed of it. You're not ashamed of it. You didn't try to come the easy route with this easy gospel that's being preached, where you just get everything you want and life becomes just a heaven right here on earth. You come in with the real gospel. The real gospel that says, I love Jesus and I'll love him to the end, regardless of what that's going to cost me. Yes? And so that's the narrow gate and the hard way. And we are not ashamed of it. We say, go look at verse 8 again. We are the ones who say God saved us. God called us. And he called us by his grace in Jesus Christ. We are the ones who say Jesus Christ defeated death and brought eternal life to us. Look at verse 8. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Look at this. Nor the prisoner of me, but we share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. What did he do? Who saved us and called us by a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Amen. We are those who are not ashamed of that testimony. And our testimony is true. Our testimony is true. You'll remember back in the 50s, there was a movie called Imitation of Life. Anybody remember that old movie? Amen. Do you? You know, it was this light-skinned, mixed daughter who was ashamed of her poor black mother, wasn't she? You remember that story? All the time she was growing up and even into adulthood, she wanted to, disassociate with a poor black mother and moved away so that she would not have to associate with her. And she tried to take advantage in the system. Of course, you know, it was a racial system that was racially biased for sure, even more so back in the 50s. But she tried to take advantage of her light skin, right? To move through the culture back in those days while she denied her mother. You remember how the story went? And she did all right for herself. But the fact is, when you deny who you are, eventually it's going to come to light and it's going to crash.
Yes.
Yeah? It's going to crash. Why? Because you're not telling the truth. Your testimony is not true. She was living a lie. Her witness was not true, regardless of how she looked on the outside, regardless of how well and groomed she was on the outside. That was not what? Who she was. Now, I want you to remember that. Those of you who have not seen the movie, go back and look at it. If you've not seen it, it'll be worth your time. I know sometimes you think that the movies back in the 50s weren't worthwhile. This is a good, right? It was a good movie. And so, being ashamed is a real important issue. It can cause you to do and say things that are not true, and that, we're people of what? Truth. We were saved by truth. We live by truth. The Bible says what? Speak the truth in what? In love. Truth is our life is to be based on truth, and if it costs you something, then you still have to what? Stand for truth. The Bible says when you've done all that you can to stand, what are you to do? Stand. Don't go compromise and be ashamed, because it's going to cost you something. You follow me so far?
Amen.
All right, we'll be about halfway. Hang in there. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. I want you to see again the value of a good testimony. The last thing I want to talk to you about is the fact that a testimony involves what you say about those who suffer for Christ. Not just about what you say about Christ, but about those who suffer for Christ, all right? Now, there are still those who are ashamed. And I just simply call those pretenders. We all know them, don't we? Fake Christians pretending. Pretenders will eventually, though, be revealed through, Jesus said, difficulty and suffering. You remember he gave the parable of the seed and the sower? And one of the groups of people that come to Jesus right away, he said that there's a group of people that come who will fall away when there's persecution and trial and difficulty because of the Word of God. And we've all seen it. The irony of it is that's what's been offered. That's the popular theology nowadays. Offering people to come to Jesus and get this wonderful, again, it's kind of like the imitation of life. It's fake. Come to Jesus and get this life that's nothing but everything you want. Is that real?
No.
You see? But it's attractive, like this little daughter. You see? On the outside, her skin and her appearance was what? Attractive. But I don't want to harp on that movie too much, but though, you might remember that along the way, some of her boyfriends found out who she was. Remember that? And it didn't turn out so well for her. You see? And that's what happens with this false gospel. When you find out it's empty, the Bible calls it empty. Clouds without water is the ones who purvey this. Promises that can't be fulfilled. And so pretenders will eventually be revealed through difficulty and suffering. First Peter says that our faith, the genuineness of our faith, will be proved by what? The testing of fire. And everybody in this room for the past 2 years or so been through some fire. But what? We're still here. Why? Because we're not playing a game. This is not a game for us. This is real. This is life. This is life. We're not faking it. Yeah? We've seen pretenders come and go. And we're not critical of them. But we didn't join, we didn't come to Christ for the good times only. Now, we do thank God that there have been some what? Wonderful times in Christ. We've enjoyed wonderful. It's like the apostles when he took three of the disciples to the mountain with him. You remember that story, Matthew 17 and other places, other accounts. He took them to the mountain, and they enjoyed what? Just this marvel of seeing him translated. And we've had those experiences where we've been on the mountain and just enjoyed God's presence and the glory and the wonder and the bliss of it and just wanted to stay there. But God says, no, you can't stay here. You got to what? You got to go back down. You got to go back where you work. You got to go back where you live. You got to go back and deal with sick people and angry people and all of those things. You got to go back and deal with an environment where there's greed and dishonesty and all of those things, yeah? And so pretenders will be fleshed out. It's kind of like the natural system in the body. My wife and I were talking about this not too long ago with me. You ever thought about why when you're sick, you get a fever? Why is that? The body heats up to what? To get rid of some of the things that are affecting your body. You see, and so. Even our bodies heat up to get rid of those things that aren't good for us. So we see that in the kingdom of God, God brings some heat, what? To get rid of those that are fake in it, that don't belong here. Yeah, you get the point. We've seen them. I mean, the list is long. Judas. Of course, everybody knows Judas. Y'all remember Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts? He saw this wonderful thing with this Holy Spirit. You see, he was a magician. And he saw what the Holy Spirit was doing through these apostles. And he wanted to buy in on it. You see, he wanted some of it. But he was what? He was fake. The Bible talks about Demas and Hymenaeus and Alexander and all of these people who were pretenders who what? Loved the world and the things of the world more than they what? Loved Christ. And so God says to us, do not love the world or the things of the world. Why? Because they're passing away. They're passing away. And all of us have gone through the test and the challenge. Everybody in here has had a, let me say this right, because you know my issue. Everybody in here has had a car that you love. You know what I mean by that. It was just your favorite. And this amazing thing. It was just the right color, and it had everything that you wanted. Everything that you wanted until somebody finally scratches it. Yeah? Or until you, one of the most irritating things is you ever been parking? And run your nice rims up on one of those curbs. And you don't even want to get out and look at it. You ever done that? Because you know, this is ugly. But what's the point? Don't love the world. Or the thing, even that car that you was so wonderful, it's what? It's passing away. And you know what I'm talking about. The clothes that you love so much, or the shoes, or the furniture, or whatever. And so that's the problem with those that are ashamed. They're coming to Christ, but they're coming to get more of what? More of the world. More of the world. But there are those who are not ashamed. Oh, my. And who understand this issue of suffering for Christ. We, the ones who are a new creation in Christ and belong to Christ, are not ashamed to be called bondservants and prisoners and slaves in this life. I remember early on when I was a Christian, how offended some of the people that I knew then, when they see the word slave associated with Christian. But you see, we got a different mind. We have the mind of Christ now. And that's an honor for us to be what? A slave of Christ. Amen. It's an honor for us to be a bond servant in a prison. You see what he says in verse 8? Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Do not be ashamed. We're not ashamed. We're willing to share in his suffering for the gospel. And we're not ashamed of others who suffer as well. But share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Yeah, that's our life. That's our legacy. That's our testimony. Now, we realize that all of our experiences in life, including suffering, has a purpose designed by God. And you might have missed that when we read this before, but I want to point it out so that you can at least take this nugget home with you today. Everything you've gone through this week, everything you've gone through this month, everything you've gone through this year, and every year of your life has purpose. God never wastes experiences on any of us. You see that in verse 9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose. Purpose. Everyone in this room, everybody listening in on Zoom that's a Christian, everybody that's in the family of God has been called because God has a purpose for you. And it behooves us to what? To find out what that purpose is. And I talked to Phil and Dan often when about when they were young. You know, Phil, Phil liked basketball and a few other things. I don't think Phil ever liked soccer, but Dan did. You know, Dan was a little soccer kid. And so, for any of y'all that have ever been around really young children playing soccer, and somebody, the coach is trying to coach some 5, 6, 7 year old soccer kids. I don't know if you've ever been around there. And the biggest challenge coaching young kids with soccer is the coach says, "Don't go after the ball." You remember that? Yeah, I have to say that. Because somebody has to stay back and protect the goal. But what do? Wherever the ball goes, the whole field goes after the ball. And often that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. People think there's only one or two positions, you see. Everybody in the church wants to do one or two things. But just like the soccer field, you got all of these different what, positions that people, that the players must play in order to what? Have a winning team. You understand what I'm saying? Purpose. You've been saved with a purpose, so find out what it is. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of the purpose for which God called you. Because if God gave you a purpose, it's important. So the eye can't say to the hand or to the foot or to some other organ of the body, we have no need of you. You get it? Now, I know I'm being rhetorical here, but these are important things. This shame. We're not people who are ashamed of our Lord or what He's called us to do, right? Even when it involves suffering. Even when it involves suffering. We know that we have been appointed to represent Christ as light and salt in this dark and evil and twisted world. You see verse 11? For which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher. And so, not only has God called you, He's appointed you to do something. People think that the only people called to do something are preachers. That's not true. But you need to find out what God has called you to do. Yeah. I went through the struggle myself, trying to deal with my own calling. And if you're genuine, you will admit that the challenge of fighting against the flesh and your nature. All of us, it's when God calls you to do something, it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's what you would naturally do. Right? It's like Moses. God called him to be a public speaker, and all that he could think of is what? I don't speak well in public. So that's not the issue. When God calls you to it, He'll equip you to do it. Yeah? So you just have to make sure you know what it is. You follow me? So, and then the last thing I see here in verse 12 is that we are willing to suffer for Christ without shame because we know that our future destiny with Him is certain, oh my, and glorious. Our future is certain and glorious. You see verse 12 there? Which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what I have what has been entrusted to me. Amen. You know, in that movie, Imitation of Life, that mother sacrificed and suffered and worked hard to care for that daughter, didn't she? But the daughter was still ashamed of her. Didn't want to have anything to do with her. She wanted all the benefits, but she didn't want to have anything to do with that mother who was, now you need to follow this, who was suffering and sacrificing and working hard to take care of her. The daughter pretended to be another race while being ashamed of her poor black mother. But at the mother's funeral, y'all remember that? At the mother's funeral, the daughter was finally broken. It took the death of her mother to break her heart. And then she was willing to openly own her mother, wasn't she? After she died. As long as she lived, she was ashamed of her. But after she died, then she wanted to own her. Then she was broken and saw how much she had missed in real relationship, because that was who she was. You see, she came from that mother, not some other mother. She was pretending to be someone else, but she was the product of that dead mother there. And there's a big gospel message in that, isn't it? And we see it even with Jesus' own family. They didn't come to faith until what? After he died. They were ashamed of him as long as he what? Lived. But I'm just saying to all of us, don't fake it. Don't fake it on your job. Don't fake it, you see, in the gym. Don't fake it in your neighborhood. Don't try to fly under the radar so you don't get any heat for who you are. Don't just be who you are. That's who God, what? Saved you to be. He died that you might live. Yes, finally, that daughter was not ashamed, and her testimony was now true. Her testimony was now true. Before I was saved, I was not ashamed of, and I was willing to testify about my band, my drinking buddies, my partying, my education. I was not ashamed, and I was willing to testify about my job, my career, my car, my clothes, my music, my love for money, my fame, and sexual promiscuity, and all of these things. I loved these things, and I was willing to sacrifice and suffer for these things of the world. But now, after being born again, I am not ashamed of those. I am ashamed of those things that brought such dishonor and disgrace to the name of Christ. You know how Paul said it in Romans 6, but what fruit were you getting from those things that you are now ashamed of, those things of which you are now ashamed, Romans 6:21. However, I am not ashamed of God the Father who predestined me. I am not ashamed of Jesus who saved me. I am not ashamed of the Holy Spirit who raised me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord. I love him, and I will sacrifice and suffer for him in faithful service and ministry until I die. Until I die. More, even more, I'm not ashamed of the gifts that God has given to me. I'm not ashamed of the wife of my youth that I can love. I'm not ashamed of the sons that God has given me whom I can love. I'm not ashamed of family members and in-laws that God has given that I can love. I'm not ashamed of brothers and sisters in Christ, what? Whom I can love. And actually, even my enemies, I'm learning to love my enemies and pray for them, because what? That's what Christ calls for me to do. Yes, love our enemies and pray for them. As we enter this Thanksgiving season, this is a good time to think about the important people in your life. It's a good time to think about the blessings of God in your life that are valuable and helpful to you. Don't be ashamed of God and his goodness to you, but be grateful, right? Be grateful. Give thanks with a grateful heart in this season in which we now live. And don't be ashamed. And if you're not a Christian, you need to take some time during this meditation period as well to examine your own heart, to see if you've been ashamed of Jesus in any way, or to see all of the ways you have demonstrated shame for him. And like that daughter, realize that he died that you might live. Come to him. He won't reject you. Come to him. He'll receive you. He'll receive you. And you'll find real joy and love and a life that will be far greater than the misery that you're going through now without Christ. Well, God bless you all, and thank you for being patient as we work through these issues, to think about what it means to have a good testimony and to be thankful for the good graces of God in our life. Lord, we do thank you that you've saved us, you've raised us, you've blessed us, you've kept us, you've provided for us, you've protected us, you've healed us, you've delivered us, you've been with us all through the ebbs and flows of life, you've forgiven us. We thank you that grace and mercy has been our twin, Lord's twin friends along the way in life, and here we are today, turning back to give you thanks, to give you praise, and to say that our testimony is that we are not ashamed of you. So meet us now as we bow together in a few minutes of meditation. Help us to think through these things together. In Jesus' great name, amen.